When we were at the Feast of Tabernacles this year, I met a young man, and I would say he's probably in his early 20s. And he and his dad were new to our fellowship. They'd been in one of the other fellowships of the Church of God. And I asked him, not knowing, you know, him before, are you in college or are you working? And his reply surprised me. He said, well, when I was in 11th grade, I dropped out of school because of prophecy. And he felt that the end time was near and that it was better that he just drop out of school. And he and his dad were getting by selling silver on the commodities market. I want to ask, how do we look at prophecy? Does it determine what we do with our lives? Should it determine what we do with our lives? What are our current circumstances, and how should we determine our goals, our education, our life's work, based on our understanding of biblical prophecy? Today I want to go back in time to look at how another young man, a teenager, structured his life in light of Bible prophecy. We're all familiar with the story of Daniel and Daniel in the lion's den. But Daniel was a young man at a time of great turmoil in his country. And he was probably born about 625, 620 BC when Josiah was king of Judah. It had only been about 100 years since the northern tribes of Israel had fallen. And I want to look at that period of 150 years, 100 years, and up to Daniel's time of Daniel as a young man. Now, 150 years ago really isn't all that long. That's about the time of the Civil War. And when my wife and I first got married, there was an elderly black gentleman who lived next to us. And his father had been a slave. And suddenly, history that I thought was ancient history, I realized really wasn't that long ago because my neighbor's father had been a slave. And I thought, you know, that's really pretty recent. And 100 years ago, my grandfather, he's long since dead, but he had just gotten married about 100 years ago. So that's not long looking back in history. And I'd like to just look at some of the background of what was going on. Israel and Judah had both turned away from God. There was a lot of sexual immorality, pagan worship, murder, child sacrifice, and Israel was sliding rapidly downhill, and Judah was not far behind. And then about 150 years before Daniel's time, and that's like Civil War time, God sent some of the prophets, Amos was one of them, to Israel. And basically God said, look, seek me and live. Here are your faults. Repent. You know, turn from your ways and repent, and I'll bless you. But if you don't, then you'll go into captivity. And then God said, eventually, when you do repent, after you've been in captivity, I will bring you out and I'll bless you again. And then about 120 years before Daniel's time, Tilgath-Pileser III of Assyria invaded Israel. He demanded tribute of King Menahem. Then 3 years later, he took part of the 10 tribes of Israel captive. Then Shalmaneser, king of Assyria, came again against King Hoshea, the next king, and he became his vassal, had to pay tribute. But King Hoshea rebelled, and he conspired with the king of Egypt to try to, you know, get around the king of Assyria. And then the king of Assyria was taken. First, he was thrown in prison, and then he was taken away captive. And the children of Israel, of the northern 10 tribes, because they refused to listen to God's word, because they refused to obey, God let them go into captivity. They were emptied out of the land, and other people were brought in. And this was about 100 years before Daniel was born. So Daniel, in his recent history, would say, okay, God prophesied against Israel, and he brought it about. God also prophesied against Judah. So here's Daniel, a young man, probably a teenager. When Daniel was born, about 722 BC was when Israel was taken captive. And this would probably be, you know, 5-10 years before Daniel was born. And Hezekiah was king of Judah, and he was a righteous king. And the prophets at the time were Hosea, Micah, and Isaiah. And God says that Hezekiah did what was right in God's sight. He destroyed the pagan idols. He destroyed the images. He tore down the high places. And God said there was no one like him before or after who was fervent to obey God. And then it was about 10 years after he became king, or after the fall of Israel, about 10 years after Israel fell, that Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, came down to lay siege on the cities of Judah. He came against the walled cities. And King Hezekiah said, look, you know, I'll pay tribute. I'll pay tribute to you. You know, you had world powers kind of vying for power. The Assyrian Empire was at its strength. So King Hezekiah agreed to pay tribute. And then a few years later, the Assyrians then came and laid siege against Jerusalem, the capital. And it looked like the end for Jerusalem. And Sennacherib threatened to lay siege against Jerusalem. He said, give up now. If you don't, things will be so bad, you'll have to eat your own dung and eat your own urine, drink your own urine. But if you give up, you know, turn yourselves over, become slaves to us, you know, we'll let you stay and prosper. So this is the background. And it looked like the end. And this was 722 BC. This was about 100 years before Daniel was born. And I think I misspoke earlier. So Hezekiah was a righteous man. And let's turn to 2 Kings chapter 19. And I just want to read a few verses in 2 Kings 19. In verse 3 and 4, it says, thus says Hezekiah. And Hezekiah sent messages to Isaiah, who was God's prophet, to ask for God's intervention. And Hezekiah said, this day is a day of trouble and rebuke and blasphemy. And he said, therefore, lift up your prayer for the remnant that is left. And then in verse 6, Isaiah responds to Hezekiah. Thus says the Lord, don't be afraid of the words which you have heard, with which the servant of the king of Assyria have blasphemed me. Speaking of God, you know, the king of Assyria blasphemed God. Surely I will send a spirit upon him. He shall hear a rumor and return to his own land. I will cause him to fall by the sword in his own land. And Sennacherib sent letters to Hezekiah saying, don't trust in this God for deliverance. Look what has happened to all the countries around you. They trusted in their gods. And I've taken all of these countries captive. Don't trust in your God. He's not able to help. And Isaiah, in verse 14, it says, Hezekiah received the letter from the land of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah went to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord. Hezekiah went to God, spread the letter before God. And then in verse 20, it says, thus says the Lord of Israel, because you have prayed to me against Sennacherib, king of Assyria, I have heard. And then God said that they would not invade Israel. He said, he shall not come to the city, nor shoot an arrow there, nor build a siege mound against it. And then in verse 35, God intervened on the behalf of Judah. And it came to pass on a certain night that the angel of the Lord went out and killed the camp of the Assyrians, 185,000. And when people arose early in the morning, there were corpses all dead. That's always kind of interesting because most corpses are all dead. But God intervened. And so Sennacherib retreated, went back to Assyria, and his sons killed him. And God fulfilled his prophecy. And God spared Judah and King Hezekiah, and he destroyed the Assyrian army. And I want to look specifically, let's go to 2 Kings over at verse 20, or chapter 20. And at this point, Babylon is trying to make an alliance with Judah against Assyria. Babylon is starting to rise up, and Assyria is, the Babylonians think there may be a weakness there. So the Babylonians come to King Hezekiah, and he hears them, and he shows them everything that's in his house and in his storerooms. And God uses this as an opportunity to show him what will happen in the future. And let's go to, specifically to verse 16 of 2 Kings chapter 20. And Isaiah said to Hezekiah, "Hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord, and they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget, and they will be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." This was after Hezekiah had gotten sick and had been healed miraculously by God. Isaiah had told him, "Look, your days are numbered, prepare to die." Hezekiah had beseeched God, and then the king of Babylon used this as an excuse to come with gifts to Hezekiah and say, "Make an alliance with me against the Assyrians." So then here's this prophecy that not in your day, but your country will be taken captive into Babylon. And this is just about 100 years before Daniel is born. 100 years. You know, some of you, you're 100 years is only 10 or 20 years before you were born. 100 years isn't really all that long ago. About the time of World War I. Not that long. And then Hezekiah died. His son Manasseh became king. And Manasseh was one of the worst kings that there were in Judah. He was evil. He rebuilt the pagan shrines, which Hezekiah had destroyed. He set up idols in the temple of God. He was a murderer. He sacrificed his own son to Molech, to the pagan god. And through the prophets, God said that the ears of the people would tingle because of God's pronouncement against Manasseh. And, you know, it makes kind of like we'd say it makes the hair on the back of your head stand up when you hear what God's going to do. God said, "Look, your ears are going to tingle what you hear what I will do against Judah." Because Manasseh had forsaken God and was turning the nation away from God. And then the king of Assyria came and he took Manasseh with hooks, it says. It took him to Babylon with bronze fetters. And Manasseh repented and the king let him come back to the nation. And Manasseh repented. He rebuilt the city of David. But when he died, his son was evil. Ammon didn't do what was right. His servants killed him and made his 8-year-old son Josiah king. Josiah, about 640 BC, and the dates are not exact, you know, trying to fit the chronology in, but these are approximate dates. He was king who reigned for 31 years in Jerusalem. And it was during his reign, most likely, that Daniel was born. And we've heard the story of good King Josiah when he was still young. I think he was 8 years old when he became king. When he was 20 years old, in the 12th year of his reign, he began to purge Judah and Jerusalem of the pagan shrines and idols. And in the 18th year of his reign, he's about 28, he began to repair the temple. And in the temple, they find the book of the law. It means the Bible. You know, he hadn't seen it. They hadn't seen it for years. It's away in a storehouse. God's word had become relegated to some storehouse, locked up, we'd say in a C train in the back of the building, and, you know, underneath lots of boxes, and they're cleaning out the temple, and they find it. And Josiah reads how God would bless them if they obeyed, and he would curse them if they disobeyed. And he went to the prophetess Huldah in 2 Chronicles 34 and verse 21. And it says, "Go inquire of the Lord for me, for those who are left in Israel and Judah concerning the words of the book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is poured out on us, because our fathers have not kept the word of the Lord to do according to all that is written." And then it was about, not long before 10 or 15 years before Daniel's birth. And the prophetess answered and said that she said, "Tell the man who sent you to me," this is verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, behold, I'll bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants. All the curses that are written in the books which have read before the king of Judah, because they've forsaken me and burned incense to other gods that they might provoked me to anger with all the words of their hands. Therefore, my wrath will be poured out upon them. But God told Josiah concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender. Josiah had a tender heart towards God. He was a righteous king. You humbled yourself before God when you heard his words against this place and against his inhabitants. You humbled yourself before me. You tore your clothes. You wept before me. I've heard you. Surely I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I've brought to this place. So Josiah read the words of the book of the law to the people of Judah. And that's when the Passover was reinstituted. It was kept like it had not been kept from probably one of the greatest feasts of the unleavened bread and the feast of the Passover that had been kept in all time. And it was probably about 10 years after this that Daniel was born. There seemed to be a righteous movement in the nation. The nation was turning back towards God. And yet the prophecies were there that Hezekiah's descendants would be taken captive and made eunuchs by the Babylonians. And Daniel most likely was a descendant of Hezekiah. And then Josiah dies 609 B.C. And at that time, the king of Egypt, King Necho, is going up to make an alliance with the Assyrians to fight against the Babylonians, because the Assyrians are diminishing. It's only been 3 or 4 years since their capital was taken captive by the Babylonians. It was destroyed. So the Egyptians and the Assyrians, these world powers, are getting together to fight the Babylonians. The Egyptians they're wanting to be a world power, and they're thinking, okay, if we could block the Babylonians strategically, then maybe we can outshine the Assyrians and get ascendancy. And they're coming through Judah on their way up to meet with the Assyrians. And King Josiah says, look, don't come in my land. And the king of Egypt says, look, God's appointed me to come here. Stay out of my way. And King Josiah disguised himself. He was shot by an archer and killed. And then his son was an evil man. And it was a time of great turmoil at that time. And the people made Jehoaz, the son of Josiah, the king. But Necho, the king of Egypt, they kind of become a vassal of the Egyptians. He didn't want him to be king, so 3 months later, he jails him, takes him off to Egypt, where he dies. And Judah is forced to pay tribute to Egypt. So they make his brother, Jehoiakim, king. By Necho, the king of Egypt. He was a puppet king to the Egyptians. And he was evil, and he burned God's words that were given by Jeremiah the prophet. He was impotent towards God. He said, I'll burn the words of God rather than listen to what God says. So then 4 years after Josiah died, Josiah is a righteous king. 605 BC, the Assyrians are declining, the Babylonians are rising up. Here's Daniel, a young man. And Daniel, because he was a righteous man, was probably aware of the prophecies that Hezekiah's descendants would be taken captive. They'd be made eunuchs to the Babylonians. Daniel could have thought, look, I don't want to be singing castrato in the Babylonian choir. I think I'm going to be like Jonah, and I'm going to take off to Spain. Because he could have looked at prophecy from a personal point of view and said, look, the end is near. It's time for me to get out of here, because most likely he was maybe a great-grandson of Hezekiah. Those prophecies were pointed directly at Daniel and his three friends, who were most likely descendants of Hezekiah. And in 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up against him, and Daniel and the first exiles were taken captive. Let's go to 2 Kings 24. 2 Kings 24. Verse 1, in his days, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came up, and Jehoiakim became his vassal for 3 years, and the king rebelled against him. The Lord sent him raiding bands of Chaldeans, the bands of Syrians, the bands of Moabites. In other words, there were terrorists coming into the country. They were taking tribute, It was a terrible time. I mean, there were people coming across the border and raiding, taking the wealth of the country. And he sent them against Judah to God. It says God sent them against Judah to destroy it according to the word of the Lord, which he had spoken by his servants, the prophets. Daniel could have looked at the prophets and said, you know, it's time for me to get out of here. It's time for me to lay low, it's time for me to play like Jonah and head out of here. But Daniel was taken captive, and he and his friends became captives in Babylon. But because of their righteousness, they eventually became part of the government. And in 598, this is about 7 years later, when Jehoiakim was king for 3 months and 10 days, and he did evil in God's sight. So Nebuchadnezzar took him captive in the second wave of captivity. And then Zedekiah was made king, and it was under Zedekiah's rule that he saw the temple burned and Jerusalem destroyed, and he was tortured and carried away captive in the final captivity to Jerusalem. So Daniel, let's go to Daniel chapter 1. And God is speaking of Daniel. It says that in the third year of verse 1, Daniel 1:1, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem and besieged it. And God gave the king, with some of the articles of his house of God, he carried them captive. He took the things away. And the king instructed Ashpenaz, master of the eunuchs, to bring some of the children of Israel and some of the king's descendants and some of the nobles. And we read of Daniel and Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who were taken captive. And they were gifted in all language. These were bright young men. They didn't look at the prophecy and say, hey, you know, I'm going to drop out. Even though the prophecies were there, they said, we're going to apply ourselves. We're going to do the best we can. We'll be the best that we can for God, no matter what the circumstances. And the king brought some of the brightest young men. They took them captive, and they happened to be in the house of the eunuchs. They weren't there just because they weren't eunuchs. They were there most likely because they were made eunuchs at that time. But we read how Daniel, in verse 8, when they were going to give them the king's delicacies, but he said, no, I won't defile myself with that portion, and did not drink of the wine or drink of the delicacies. And then verse 17, as for these four young men, God gave them knowledge and skill in all literature and wisdom, and Daniel had understanding of all visions and of dreams. But these young men had to do their part. Prophecy looked pretty ominous for them. The Assyrians were declining, the Babylonians were ascending, and the prophecy said the king's descendants will be taken and made eunuchs. But they didn't drop out. They didn't say, hey, you know, the end is near. Yes, the end of that society was near, but for a purpose. It was for God's purpose. God had a greater purpose for the children of Judah to go into captivity so that they might repent and come back and be in the land of Judah at the time that Christ was born. And God gave Daniel and his three friends wisdom, but they had to do their part. They had to have been studying. They had to have been diligent. And they were trained. And Daniel was found 10 times better than all the magicians and the astrologers who were in his realm. And then verse 21, it says, Daniel continued until the first year of King Cyrus. And that's about a 60-year period that Daniel served the Babylonians. He served Nebuchadnezzar. He served under different rules. Because of his pursuit of excellence, he was given favor by Nebuchadnezzar. In Proverbs 22, verse 29, there's a scripture that applies to all of us. Proverbs 22 and verse 29. Do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. This was a description of what Daniel was. This was a young man who said, I'm going to excel in what I do. No matter what the circumstances, no matter what prophecy is, I'm still going to do my best for God's sake. And he did stand before kings. And when Nebuchadnezzar was king, and he had the dream, and he couldn't remember what he dreamed, and he called his astrologers and his wise men, and they said, how can we tell you your dream? You haven't told us what it is. And he said, I don't remember it. He said, you're all going to be killed then. And Daniel said, you know, please, king, don't be so hasty. Give me time. And that's when Daniel went back to his three friends and beseeched God for understanding. And God opened his mind and gave Daniel understanding to interpret, to know the dream and to interpret it. And so the king placed Daniel in a very high position, lavished many gifts on him, made him a ruler over the province. And Daniel, later, his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, or Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because the Babylonians gave them pagan names, as well as castrating them, to separate them from their own land. They refused to bow down to the image. They were thrown into the fiery furnace. And then back in Daniel chapter 3, in verse 28, it says, then Nebuchadnezzar says, praise to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are to be cut in pieces in their houses and turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save in this way. And then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the province of Babylon. Then Nebuchadnezzar died, and Belshazzar was king. And that's when they were having the party, and the handwriting is on the wall. And that's a term we use in our language. You know, when you see the handwriting on the wall, you know something is about to happen. And Belshazzar saw the handwriting on the wall, didn't know what it was. And so somebody said, look, Daniel can tell you. He's an interpreter of dreams. And that's in Daniel 5 and verse 26. This is the interpretation of each word. Many, God has numbered your kingdom. And he's telling this to the Babylonian king Belshazzar. God's numbered your kingdom and finished it. Tekel, you have been weighed in the balance and found wanting. And Peres, your kingdom has been divided and given to the Medes and Persians. So what does Belshazzar do? He says, okay, Daniel, if I'm going down, I'm going to make you third most powerful man in the kingdom right now. Put a robe on him. If I'm going down, you're going down with me. And it's kind of like he was saying, look, you know, if it's going to happen to me, it's going to happen to you. And that's very night is when the Babylonian Empire fell to the king of the Chaldeans. And Belshazzar was slain, and Darius the Mede received the kingdom. He was about 62 years old. And Daniel was made one of the satraps, one of the rulers of the kingdom. And the others didn't like it. Here's Daniel. You know, the king Belshazzar thought he'd take him out when he went out. But the Medes and the Persians said, you know, there's something about this guy. He's got a lot of knowledge. We need to keep him around to serve. Well, Daniel was thrown into the lion's den, and we think, well, we see the pictures and think of Daniel as a young man. Daniel was about 85 years old when he was thrown into the lion's den for refusing to worship only the king and not pray to God. So, brethren, the purpose of prophecy isn't some special insight or secret understanding that God gives to us so we can save our hides. That's not why God gives us an understanding of prophecy. Or to have some special advantage over everyone else. It's a call to repentance. God wants us as a nation to repent. God wants us individually to repent. God told prophecy that God would send his son as our redeemer. Prophecy tells us that he will send his son later as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And prophecy gives us hope that when we are suffering for national calamity because of our sins, that there is hope, that God will deliver us. We often speak of the end time, but the end of what? God talks about the end of the present evil age, but you could think of it, it's not the end, it's the beginning of a better age of God's rule. So do we say, I need to drop out of school because of prophecy? No. We need to be sharpening our skills to be used by God. Whether we're young and we'll continue in God's kingdom, God needs leaders who have a spirit of excellence and a willingness to obey God. So how do we live our lives in the light of prophecy? We don't hole ourselves up in a cocoon to wait for the end. We don't drop out of school or neglect our job, our health, our future. We get an education. We excel in our jobs. We plan for the future. We save for retirement. We get married. We have a family. We raise righteous children, and we help train our grandchildren, because life will go on even after the specific prophecy that God prophesied comes about. We don't neglect our spiritual lives, but we don't get caught up into the idolatry of money and job and status. It seems like as humans we have one extreme or the other. It's like, okay, we're going to be real spiritual, and then if things don't work out the way we think, it's okay, we're going to go out and be greedy and get as much as we can, and you know, to go, we swing as humans from one side to the other. We need to be a part of preaching God's gospel message. We need to live the sermon. We need to be the light on the hill. We need to be a living example of God's righteousness in man. Brethren, we need to follow Daniel's example of being one who excels in our work, of being righteous before God, because God says those will stand before kings. And when Daniel and his friends were taken as captives to Babylon and put under the guard of the eunuchs, they could have said, you know, what's it worth? Why go on? You know, when your manhood is taken away, they've changed your language, they've indoctrinated you in the culture. It seemed like, why bother? But Daniel and his friends still continued for God's sake with a spirit of excellence. And no matter what circumstances, we should do the same. We should have that same spirit of excellence. Despite our current circumstances, despite what we think prophecy may be, remember, God is always in charge. And then make the most of a bad situation. We need to all be a Daniel.